Hey everyone, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. This week, you will be joining your house church, and in your house church, you will watch a testimony in the video of Rachel. Rachel, this is what happened to her. Some time ago, she hit a wall. Not a literal one, but a spiritual wall. All of her life, she has been a follower of Christ, a Christian, but then she began to question all the things that she was accustomed to. Things like, hey, what's scripture all about? Hey, what's prayer all about? She began asking those questions because she felt she was stuck on her spiritual journey. She was not growing. She was not progressing. In fact, to be honest, she would say to you, she was going the other direction. She was filled, riddled with doubt. Doubt about the scripture, doubt about her prayer, and she didn't know where to go. What she did know was if things didn't change, she will either abandon her faith as she knew it then, or something has to change. She has to do something different so that she may be reinvigorated in her faith when it comes to scripture, prayer, and all the disciplines. Can you relate to her? Maybe not so much about doubting, but maybe perhaps more in terms of, you know, I have not been growing in my faith for some time now. You know, I feel like I'm stuck as far as following Jesus is concerned. There is no more fire. There is no more joy. It just feels very monotonous. In fact, I'm just being honest with you. I'm not doing much. Maybe you can relate to Rachel. Well, today we're going to focus on how do we stay connected with the power to change? We have been hearing all along in this series, the power to change is the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And so how do we stay connected with the person of Jesus Christ, excuse me, with the person of the Holy Spirit so that we may go on and keep going on being transformed and changed? Let's receive the word of the Lord. It comes to us from 1 Timothy chapter 4. The writer is none other than the Apostle Paul, and he is writing this letter to his disciple, his mentee, his protege, Timothy. And this is what he writes. And I want you to pay a close attention to the phrase, train yourself for godliness. Let's receive the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, let's read it together. Train yourself to be godly. One more time. Train yourself to be godly. Verse 8. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ promised that he will send to us you, the gift from God the Father. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Help us. Would you coach us? Would you be our cheerleader, our mentor, and our coach in this training? In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, would you use the sermon outline and write these words? This is the theme and the goal sentence. This sums it up, the whole message. The Holy Spirit is training you for godliness. The person of the Holy Spirit and his work, his mission in your life is once he leads you to Jesus Christ, his mission, his work begins, it shifts to what? Training you for godliness. For godliness. Look at verse 7 and 8. Train yourself to be godly. Boom! In black and white, bold, underlined, like in your face. You can't miss that. Train yourself. It's imperative as a command. Timothy, Victor, Mike, train yourself. For what? To be godly, to become like God. For, verse 8, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Did you catch that? That's the job and mission and the work of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He's like your coach. He's like your mentor. He's like your cheerleader. He is all of the above. He is like your personal trainer. And in what is he doing? He is cheering you on. He is coaching you. He is encouraging and certainly challenging you to do what? To train for godliness. To become like God. To exhibit God's character. In all that you do, in all that you are, may people see you and say, there's a godly woman. There's a godly man. You know that word, godliness, it also means in the Greek language, like someone who's pious. Now, may I offer another synonym for godliness? It is justification, sanctification, and glorification. Training in godliness has three stages. May I say three rounds? Staying with the sports metaphor. Justification. In justification, you are justified by the works of Jesus Christ and receive his righteousness. Romans 5. God demonstrates his love in this for you, toward you, when you are still sinners. Christ died for your sins. I really appreciate how Matt Chandler explained it. Think of the worst sin that you ever committed. Please don't say it out loud. Just think it in your head. That worst sin, the time when you felt so ashamed because of your guilt. And you felt guilty. Certainly you did. Not only did you hurt those around you, whom you love and those who love you, you also hurt yourself, but most of all, you really, really hurt God the Father by your sin. The worst sin ever. Now, just remember that. It is when that happens. It is when, at that very moment, when you're the lowest, the worst feeling ever, worst being in your life, that's when Christ died for you. Before you were good, before you obeyed God, before you did any of works of righteousness, Christ died for you. And therefore, God's love for you is unconditional. He didn't love you because you were good. It's that he loves you because he is kind. He is good. And therefore, that is the work of justification. In this conversation, in this language of sports metaphor, okay, in training, running the race, fighting the fight, it's like this. You are in a race. And you didn't even finish the race. You were disqualified. You were so bad. The referees and the judges say, hey, get him out of the race. You are that bad. And yet, Jesus Christ, who finished the race, and he was declared the victor, and he gives his medals, or the crown of the victor, he gives that to you. So you're standing on the podium, and you receive the crown of the victor. That's like you are being justified. Okay? Second, sanctification. Sanctification, you are being transformed, becoming more like Jesus Christ. So in this sports metaphor, you are, because you have already won, how? Christ won the race, and he gave you, he bestowed upon your head his own crown of the victors, right? So now, in the sanctification, you are being transformed to become more like Christ, as if you are training, you are on the tracks, you're running, you're lifting weights, you are acting as if you're going to train, but not wondering whether you will win or not, because you have already won. Not you, but Christ has won the race, but he has given you his credit, his righteousness, his crown of the glory. I appreciate that analogy. The last stage is glorification. You, one day, you, when you face the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be made just like Christ in His glory, in the new body, in your new you. And you will be glorified as Christ is, so shall you be. No more sin, no more death, no more tears, no more suffering. You will be like Christ. So in this sport metaphor, it'll be like you're standing at the podium. The race is done. Christ has given you the victory, the victor's crown. But after the journey and the training of the sanctification, it's as if you're standing right next to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And He bestows upon your head, He rests upon your head, your crown of righteousness, your own. You know that word train? In Greek, it is gymnazo. What does it sound like? Gymnazo. Doesn't that sound like the English word gymnasium? Exactly. What it means is this: to exercise, to train, as with an ancient Greek athlete in a sporting event, to train with one's full effort, complete physical, emotional force, like when working out intensely in a gymnasium. So when you train in godliness, it takes your 100% focus, 100% effort, and 100% commitment, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Now, I just want to make just one clear definition, one distinction. We're not trying to be godly. We are training for godliness. You say, what's the difference? Marathon. It's 42 kilometers. If you said to me, Victor, run a marathon next week. And what am I going to say? I say, okay, I'll try. I'm not a runner. I have not been running, but I'm going to try to run at the marathon. And maybe I'll run, I don't know, 5 clicks. Then after that, I'm on the side of the road, panting for air, right? Okay. Well, that's trying. I tried it, and I didn't do it. I couldn't finish the race. Training is entirely different. I'll say to you, okay, let me find a coach. Let me find a group of runners who can support me. Give me 1 year. I'm not going to try this tomorrow, but I'm going to train for it for the next year. And I have a coach. I am eating well, healthy, and I'm training. I'm hitting the gym. I'm stretching. I am conditioning myself. And in a year, it's possible. Yes, it's possible. Oh, don't bet with me. I'm very competitive. It's possible that I may be able to run in the marathon. So that's the difference. Not trying, but training. So let me offer 3 ways how we may engage in this training for godliness. Would you write this? Number one, training in godliness is a fitting response to God's grace. It's a logical, reasonable, it's how we should respond to the rich, amazing grace that God the Father has bestowed upon us. How we respond to that? By engaging in training in godliness. Look at verse 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul saying, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That sentence appears several times in Paul's writings, and whenever he writes this, he's saying, listen, pay attention, this is so important. This saying is trustworthy because it requires certain kind of response from you. What? Full acceptance. This is a right response. This is a reasonable response from anyone who has received the grace of God. Verse 10, that is why we labor and strive. Because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Lest anyone feels confused. We are training in godliness, not to receive God's grace, not to receive salvation, because salvation has been given to you by His rich grace. Amen? You are saved by grace, through faith. This is not of yourselves. This is a gift from God so that no one can boast. This is Ephesians chapter 2. And therefore, anyone who has received the grace of Jesus Christ, anyone who calls out, puts the name of Jesus on his or her lips, He is my Lord, He's my Savior, that person will respond. And this is how you know that person has received the rich grace of God. They respond. There has to be a response. There has to be some kind of act of faith. And what is that? We train. We train ourselves for godliness. Let me challenge you. Are you responding to the grace of Jesus Christ? How? By training yourself in godliness, being sanctified through these acts of spiritual disciplines. Are you being that person? And if not, you should examine your heart. Because anyone and everyone who has been transformed in the grace of Christ, and if you claim that, you will respond. How? Engaging in these acts of training. Number two, training in godliness requires discipline. Training in godliness requires discipline. Look at the Apostle Paul loves this sports athlete analogy. He's always talking about this in several places, in Romans, in 1 Corinthians, in Timothy. Look, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 20 verse 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Friends, training for godliness requires, demands discipline, without which it cannot be done. And the Apostle Paul gives two examples. Runners, they enter into a strict training, and so do boxers. They have a clear vision, clear goal, and they engage in strict training. And that's why it requires for you to come up with these set of spiritual disciplines for your training of godliness. Let me just offer three. Number one, just working with this metaphor of a boxer and a runner. Number one, define the end goal. You got to define, for the runners, there's the finish line. For the boxer, in these, in the Olympics, they didn't have 10 rounds of boxing. It's either you tap out or you knock out your opponent. There's an end goal. Either finish the line, finish the race, or KO your opponent. The end goal here is for you to become like Christ. Remember, the sanctification is being transformed to become more like Christ. And the end goal is glorification. At glorification, you will face the Lord Christ Himself eye to eye. And you will be transformed. In His glory, you will be just like Him as a child of God. The old is gone and the new has come. That's the end goal. And the end goal, once again, is what? Glorification. You are becoming like Christ as you train for godliness. Second thing, create a game plan. Create a game plan. Runners, when they train, what do? They have a game plan. Their diets, what they eat, the amount of sleep. Absolutely. Sleep affects the results and the performance. And competition, training, running, stretching. For the boxer, same idea. So you define the end goal, you create a game plan, and lastly, you commit to the disciplines. You have to do the disciplines. You have to eat the right food, and you have to follow through on the game plan. Let me give you an illustration. I have always been very active in terms of physical activities are concerned. I've played basketball, tennis, squash, football, golf, you name it. Okay? Now, when the COVID occurred, I couldn't go to the gym anymore. So what did I do? I said, you know what? I'm gonna exercise. I'm gonna train for my fitness at home. Things like pull-ups, push-ups, sit-ups. Someone said, I guess you are into prison workout. Interesting way of looking at it. Yes, if you like to call it that. So I got this pull-up bar, okay? And I wanted to do 15 pull-ups. That was my end goal. I wanted to do 15 pull-ups in one set. Okay? Guess how many I was able to do the first day? How many? No. Only 5. It was really hard. It was really, really hard. I was so disappointed, so discouraged. You can only do 5 pull-ups, Victor. Okay? No. So I defined the end goal. The end goal was how many pull-ups? 15. And then I created a game plan. Okay? I'm going to do pull-ups on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays because you need the following days for resting. So the first week, I could only do 5 pull-ups on Monday. And I did 3 sets of those. Okay? Same thing. On Wednesday, 5 pull-ups, 3 sets of those. Friday, 5 pull-ups, 3 sets of those. And then I kept doing it the next week. And I think it was like week 4, I was able to increase the number of repetitions. I was able to do 6 pull-ups. And then I kept it up. I defined the angle. I created a game plan. And I committed myself to the disciplines, to the regimen. And after 3 years, guess how many I can do now? How many? Nope. I hit the goal, friends. I am able to do 15 pull-ups now. And that took discipline. It required discipline, and it demanded stick-to-itness. Same thing with your spiritual fervor, your spiritual muscles, and we train for godliness. Now, when we become more like Christ, we have defined 6 disciplines, 6 of them. 1, scripture, to know Jesus. 2, prayer, to meet Jesus. 3, generosity, to show Jesus, to show His generosity to others using our time, talents, and treasure. 4, community, to belong with Jesus. We are transformed, we are being sanctified, not by ourselves, but in community. And 5, sent out, to go with Jesus and to share the good news that in Christ we become children of the living God, that sent out to go with Jesus. And the 6th value is movement, to multiply Jesus. We make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. We reach out to the lost people, and they come to the saving faith of Jesus Christ, and they grow, and they train in the sanctification. They become like Jesus on their journey, and then they make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Now, I don't have time to go all to give you all the examples of the 6 values, but let me just give you 1 game plan. Scripture. You know what helped me? In the past, when I was stuck, the word discipline was so, what's the word I'm looking for? So disciplinary. It didn't sound good. It didn't feel good. It's like, gotta do this. You know what I mean? And then I said, hey, Victor, I got to change my game plan here. Don't call it quiet time. What am I? Time out? Am I being disciplined? No. Don't call it Bible study. It's not information. That's not the end goal. I want to meet Jesus. So I began calling this training with Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. He's waiting for me in the gym. And he's looking at the clock. Okay, Victor, you said meet me at 6 a.m. I'm waiting. So I made it very personal. Okay? Workout with Jesus. Second thing that helped me was when I would read the scripture. I'm meeting Jesus, therefore, I would put my name in the personal pronouns. So, Victor, train yourself for godliness. Victor, pay attention. Victor, this is trustworthy saying. Victor, Jesus is right next to you. See, I make it personal. It was no longer a Bible study. It was a workout time with my personal trainer, the Holy Spirit. The third, last one, training in godliness is a team sport. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. To what? To the disciplines, you see? So that everyone may see your progress. Underline that. So that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Did you catch that? Give yourself wholly in the training of godliness, and give yourself wholly to them, and not only that, let others see your progress. See? That's why I say this is a team sport. It's not an individual sport. You do this in community, and you let others see. It's like me saying, hey, would you support me in this? Would you encourage me? I want to meet Jesus just 5 minutes a day in the scripture. Would you hold me accountable? Would you challenge me? Would you check up on me? So that you may see my progress. Not that I have obtained it, not that I have finished the race. What matters is that I am progressing, that I'm developing, I am growing. You see, don't even think about saying, okay, my end goal is to pray 3 hours a day. Well, that is like trying. No, be real, be practical, but at the same time, let others help you. Let them see your progress. Furthermore, verse 6:16, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. What you do for others, that is going to make a difference. The Holy Spirit is going to train you. And when you're being trained, and when you include others into this training, disciplines, then others will be benefited as well. Let me end with Rachel. You know, that woman who felt stuck because she was lacking structure, she was lacking discipline, and then she had all these doubts. Well, things turned around when one of her friends recommended the Book of Common Prayer. The Book of Common Prayer includes prayers and scripture reading from Christians centuries ago. This is one of archaic, old, traditional book on prayer. And it's all written on beautiful prayers, very eloquent. But she was told in the past, well, you know, that Book of Common Prayer is nothing but vain repetition. It will lead you to becoming legalistic. So she kept away from that book. But then she began reading it because she was so stuck. She didn't know how to put words into a prayer. She didn't have the discipline, nor the structure, nor the rhythm. So she just began reading the prayers in the book. And slowly, things began to change. They were beautiful prayers. And she learned how to pray prayer of confession, prayer of adoration, praying for the community, praying for the world, praying for all kinds of people. Without that structure, without that discipline in the past, previously, she was really, really struggling with the prayer. Now, she also added another structure. Near her home, there's a pasture, so she would go for walks with the prayer book. And then she would sit by the pond, and she would journal. And then she would offer these prayers, and she would let the scripture seep into her soul. And slowly, there was the turning point. She discovered this new transformation. Many of her answers, doubts, they were addressed. Now she began seeing the progress, the transformation. And now she is a robust, Holy Spirit-filled, Christ-loving follower of Jesus Christ. Friends, let us be encouraged. Let me end with the Apostle Paul's one of the last books, 2 Timothy. Paul was going to die, and he knew it. This is at the very end of his life. And he writes this 2 Timothy to his protege, Tim. And this is what he writes. I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. He wills and acts in us so that we may work out our salvation. And that working out of salvation is called training in godliness. Thank you for the desire that you give to us, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us with defining the end goal and giving us the volitional and the willpower and the structure with which we may indeed enter into this training. Thank you, Lord. We pray now. May your name be glorified, Lord Jesus. We pray now. Every one of us may be able to utter this prayer that the Apostle Paul wrote. I have run the race. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.